Blog Talk Radio.
Be advised, 3327 associates with the suspect and the victim. This West.
May want to be waiting 172, no water warrant.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of On the Legal Side. I'm your host, Rick McCann, and this week we're talking about trespass. What is trespass? What are the legal ramifications? What can and cannot be done? What type of property can be trespassed? What are the measurements, requirements, or laws pertaining to what we must do to trespass someone from our property? There are a lot of different stipulations, laws, and statutes that vary from state to state. And that's what we're going to be talking about this week on the legal side. On the legal side, every program is about keeping you informed of the law, making sure that you don't stray to the wrong side of the track, that you don't get in your, you know, into a position where you actually do something criminal and you're the one that's charged. And we do see that quite often. So this week, on this edition, we're talking about trespass. First of all, what is trespass? What is the definition of trespass? Even though the laws may differ from state to state, and the statute's language may be a little bit different, and we often talk about that, the language of the law from state to state is what is a little bit different. But overall, on the whole scheme of things, the verbiage is similar. There may be a few exceptions. There may be a few different statutory requirements for the law to be met. However, the language is basically the same. So, what is trespass? Trespass basically means when you either enter or remain on property, on another person's property without permission or after notice. And we're going to talk a little bit about how that notice is given, the requirements in different states about how it must be given. But it boils down to going onto any property that is not yours and remaining there, even after notice. As I said, trespassing is very similar in nature in most states. Only the language or the requirements may be a little different. So let's look at a couple of statutes in several states. Kentucky, for instance, says that under the Kentucky law, if you knowingly enter a building where you know you have no right to be, or you remain there, or that you know you're not legally permitted or invited to do so, then you are guilty. There's no question about it. You are guilty of criminal trespass. And if you remain on the property or on land that is protected by a fence, even if there's no other notice, verbal or written, you have committed a criminal trespass. Now, in most states, with the exception of a few situations that could change it, trespassing is a misdemeanor. And in some states, there are various classifications, classes of misdemeanor. Usually it's a class C, B, or A. But it could change. It could turn into a felony. Many people do not understand that if you are a guest of a business, if you are a shopper at a mall, if you've gone to a restaurant to eat, a movie, to watch the latest movie flick, if you are at a concert, a sporting event, you have a legal right to be there. You're not trespassing, but it can turn into a trespass if you disobey the owner's rules and regulations, become disorderly, or commit a crime. And we'll talk about that aspect of trespassing as well. So in Kentucky, basically, it is a Class B, and it turns into a Class A, the top tier of a misdemeanor, if you refuse to leave the property after being told to do so. In California, under Penal Code Section 602PC, the penal code there is very similar. It says it's a crime to enter or remain on another's property without permission. Does it have to be commercial property? No, it does not. It can be residential. You could have somebody come over for a barbecue, they get drunk and obnoxious, you tell them to leave and they don't, it is a trespassing. So under the California Penal Code, Section 602, again, the language is very similar. Now, in California, they actually have over 30 forms of trespassing under California law. But all of them adhere to the same basic principle and elements, and that is, if you have entered or remain on the property and refuse to leave, then you've committed a trespass. If the defendant did this with a specific intent on interfering with the person's property rights, it's a trespass. So if you enter a location, even though you may have a legal right to be there, if you interfere in the rights of the property, then you are trespassing. If you go into a private store and begin to pester and harass shoppers, if you tell the people that you're not happy about their labor use, maybe that they're using illegal employees, you're interfering with the store's ability to conduct business, to conduct commerce, and security tells you to leave and you don't, then yes, you have committed trespassing. So even though California is one of those states that has complex degrees and various degrees of law, the language is similar in every state. You have no right to stay on property that you've been told or otherwise should know that you have no legal standing. You have no legal right to be there. And if you don't leave, then yes, you're definitely guilty of criminal trespass. In Texas, under Texas Penal Code 30-05, the definition of criminal trespass is a little bit more complex than some, but basically it says the same thing. If you enter another's property, even though you had notice that you're not supposed to be there, it's forbidden, if you stay there or refuse to leave after you've received notice, then yes, you are trespassing. A person commits first degree trespass in Texas when you remain in the building, when you refuse to leave, when the owner or an authorized person has communicated an order to leave or not to enter, and you know you have no privilege, no license, no right to be there, you've committed now a Class A misdemeanor. Now, a Class A misdemeanor in every state that has various degrees and classifications of misdemeanor, Class A is the top of the line. The next step is going to be a felony. So here you have committed a Class A misdemeanor, which is punishable by 1 year in prison, a fine of $2,000, or both. Now, in every state, the language is going to be a little bit different. That's why we always tell our listeners, our members, our students, to be aware of the law. Know what the law, the language of the law says, specifically. Not just, well, I think trespassing is when the guy breaks through the door or, I don't know, he comes across my lawn to pick up the ball that his son hit across the... That's not trespassing. Trespassing is when a person enters the property after being told not to or should have known he has no right to be there. Now, if someone is legitimately coming across your lawn to pick up his son's ball or something as simple as that, you know, yeah, it's kind of a technical trespass, but, you know, let's be realistic. He had no intent to commit a crime. One of the elements of proving that a crime has been committed is the word intent. And we can go off for an hour or more explaining what that truly details, but intent. So you have to look at the totality of the situation. You have to look at all of the ingredients to what's happening to determine if it's a true trespass. But if a person uses any level of force to enter or remain, now in many states, you've got a felony. Besides the assault, you have burglary. In California, shoplifters are often charged with burglary because they've entered the premises with no other reason, no other intent but to commit a crime. And that's part of the language of the law. If you entered into the property to commit a crime, then you can be charged with burglary. So in California, they often use, and other states as well, they often use the felony charge of burglary for repeat offenders who continue to shoplift. So if you knowingly enter the property with the intent to commit a crime, then you're guilty of burglary. I had a case a number of years ago where at a housing project under construction, we had a person break a window, enter into an apartment under construction. We got him at gunpoint, cuffed him up, and took him to the magistrate, so on and so forth. And when we got to court, the charge was dropped from burglary to felony trespass because he had no intent to commit any type of crime. The unit was completely empty. It had no property whatsoever. It was still under construction. And his only intent was to get out of the bad weather and the cold. It was a homeless guy. Well, we didn't know that at the time, obviously. And so we charged him properly. But, you know, sometimes these cases can be reduced or the charge can be increased in court. We also want to make sure that people understand that trespass is committed in multiple ways. Now, some states do require that you give certain notices. In fact, there are some states where you actually have to notify the person in writing. If they're a shoplifter and you tell them they have to leave the store, you call the police, they give them a written notice. Some states require that you send them a written notice. I don't know how you're going to get the address unless law enforcement comes and obtains that for you. Maybe the person will be compliant and give you their driver's license, but you have to notify them in some states in writing. In other states, you have to post your property. No trespassing, no soliciting, no panhandling. That posted sign is the warning. And under the warning, you should always put, violators will be prosecuted. They're on notice. Now they understand. Ooh, wait a minute. this place takes this serious. I better not go in there. I better not hang out around here. I might get caught up and locked up. So in some states, you have to give notice. What else is required? Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to tell you. We'll be right back after this public service announcement.
For my wife. My husband still doesn't know the real story about that dent in the van.
I've never told her that I used to be a lifeguard at a nude beach.
I've never told my kids about the time I was arrested for streaking.
My friends don't know that I still sleep with my teddy bear.
But they all do know one thing about me.
And that I'm an organ donor.
I'm an organ donor.
And that's one thing that's too important to keep a secret. Because I could save somebody's life. And how cool is that?
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today. HirePatriots.com.
All right, welcome back to this edition of On the Legal Side. This very specific and sometimes touchy topic of trespassing is very important to understand, because if you do not understand it, you're going to get yourself in trouble. If you do the wrong thing, if you use force where force was not warranted or legal, you're going to get in trouble. So as we went on to the break, we were talking about the various ways of giving notice. Some states require that whether it be hunting land or your home, property, or business, you have to post no trespassing. That is their verbal written notice. That's their notice not to trespass, not to solicit, not to be panhandling. You can also, in most cases, give a verbal warning when you notice somebody on the property who does not belong. You happen to be on patrol and you spot somebody hanging around at the convenience store, somebody loitering at the mall, somebody who has created a disturbance in the restaurant or other business, you can give them a verbal notice. Remember that under the various statutes and penal codes that we talked about in the first segment, we talked about entering, or the other part of that, remaining after given notice. If they remain on the property, if they stay there despite being told you've got to leave, they can be arrested. I know that we have situations in the private security industry where law enforcement are called to remove people or arrest people for trespassing, and they won't do it because when they arrive, they say, well, I don't know if they've been warned. And so I'm going to give them a warning, and then if they don't leave, I'll arrest them. That's not the law in most states. Once the property owner or agent specifically notifies them verbally to leave the property, if they do not, then they have committed a crime of trespass. And it could actually be escalated to a charge of burglary in some states if they've committed another crime, like breach of peace, shoplifting, or any of those. It's important to understand specific language of your state statute. If you do not, you will not be able to enforce it, or when law enforcement comes, you won't be able to adequately talk about the statute because you won't know it. So if you give a trespasser verbal warning to leave and they do not, in most cases, in all states, it is trespass and they can be arrested on site. If you give them a written notice, you give them, I know that when I had many housing projects and even in law enforcement, we had a written trespass warning that looked like a citation. We give them the citation, they sign it, we take their picture, we have all of their identifying information. They leave. If they come back, they can be arrested because they've been given notice in writing. Some states say, including under the Texas Penal Code 30-05, that if you have fencing of any type around your property or an enclosure, whether it be a cattle area, your backyard, whatever it might be, if you have any type of enclosure or fencing, and this is very true in most states, and somebody hops that fence, they hop over that barrier to your property, then they've automatically committed trespassing. You have no need to give them any other warning. They can be arrested on site. In Texas, there's also something called the purple paint law, and that is on private property, hunting property, farmland, pasture, whatever it might be, if you have purple paint marks on your trees every 1,000 feet or so, then it's a known law in Texas. That means it's private property. Stay out. So that's a notice. That's another way of giving notice about trespassing. And as I said earlier, in some states, it actually requires that you send them a letter. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. But you send them a letter in the mail. They've been given notice not to re-enter the property. Again, every state, the language is going to be a little bit different. In most states, it's a misdemeanor. It does increase to a felony. If force is used to enter the property, at that point, it becomes a burglary. The language of many states for burglary says if they enter the property for the intent to commit another crime during the day or at night, then they've committed burglary. And obviously, the intent here was to commit a crime. It is really vitally important in this day and age that we know what the law is in order to be able to adequately enforce it. We are the agent of the property. We do not need to have the owner there. When you are working security, loss prevention, campus officer, private police, whatever it might be, you are the agent of the property, and therefore you can enforce the agent rules and regulations and the law. Now, I don't want to go into this too extensively, but in many states there's something called invitees and licensees. And basically that just means that a person has the right or privilege to enter your property, your land, because you have either invited them or given them permission. As an invitee, generally the people have the right to come on your land or property for business, for the benefit of you or a mutual benefit. In other words, if you're a store and you are open from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. and the door is open, that open door is considered you're inviting those guests into the property. But that does not mean that they have all rights and privileges of an owner or other party of the property. They have to obey the rules and regulations. And at any time, their licensee or invitee, they can be revoked. As I said a moment ago about concerts and restaurants and malls, the moment that they act disruptive, they violate property rules, conduct criminal activity, disturbance, interfere with others, interfere with commerce, you can eject them immediately. And if they refuse to leave, you can enforce the trespass law very easily on the spot. There are many, many case laws that you really need to look up that talks about trespassing and how it's enforceable on any establishment, business, or personal real property. It's no different, and I use this example all the time. If I have a party at my home, a barbecue, and I tell someone, you know, I don't want you to smoke inside. I don't like smoking. I don't want smokers in my house. Please don't smoke in my house. And I walk in, and one of the invited guests are sitting on the couch, and they're having a cigarette smoke. Hey, I told you, don't smoke in my house. Please leave now. I don't want... Yeah, but you invited me to the barbecue. I did invite you to the barbecue, but I also gave you the rules, and you broke those rules. Now I'm asking you to leave my house and my property. If they do not, they are trespassing, and they can immediately be arrested. It's the same on commercial property. It's the same on business property. Now, how do we enforce this? How do we go about enforcing the trespass laws on the property? I had a conversation a few weeks ago about the recent rise in civil unrest. Protesters everywhere, from north to south, east to west, across the country, we see protesters, people who think they have a right to disrupt business, disrupt traffic, and protest about not only cop shootings, but protests about everything from wages to race to police shootings to government operations, and all that is good. They do have a right to protest within their limits. They can't disrupt traffic. They cannot enter or remain on private property. One of the great things that happens when civil unrest, when protesters enter shopping malls, department stores, and grocery stores and restaurants, is that they're cut down. They're shut down. An interview recently with a D.C. police officer, what he said was, the moment when they were on the street being disrupted, when they were throwing bottles, when they were breaking the law, we were told to let them go. Let them maintain their protest. But the moment that they entered those stores downtown, those department stores, and those department store agents, managers, security began telling the people, the protesters, to leave, and they didn't, then police had the right to swoop in and conduct mass arrests. And they did. And by paddy wagon after paddy wagon, they began to fill them up. We saw that in Minneapolis, Atlanta, and a number of other cities where police allowed the protesters to protest out in the public street, even though that they were tying up the traffic and they were disorderly in their protests. But the moment that they entered private property, the moment they began destruction of property, it was all over for them. We saw it here in Charlotte, North Carolina last year. We had a massive riot for about a week. A lot of people destroyed property, smashed windows, broke through buildings. They burglarized, they ransacked, they stole, just like we saw at Katrina. But the moment that the National Guard came in and police were able to staff up, it was a different story. They began making mass arrests left and right and taking control of the situation. One of my POI members and Facebook folks asked me a couple of weeks ago about discrimination, because a shopping mall announced that they would no longer allow juveniles to shop in the mall without parents because of all of the recent outbreaks of violence involving juveniles. That is not discrimination. Many malls and many mall management companies across the country are now limiting access to the mall by juveniles that do not have a parent on the weekend, Friday and Saturday, when most trouble occurs. That is not discrimination. Property owners have a right to control their property. They owe it to their shoppers, to their staff, to ensure public safety. And if by allowing juveniles to come in and raise hell across the place, to fight, to shoot, to stab, to destruct, that is not good property management. That is not public safety. Remember this key thing about public safety. The public safety and the law is for the good of all. Not one classification, not one class of or group of people. It's for everybody. So if we have a certain class, or in this case, protesters, juveniles coming in, disrupting business, damaging property, committing crimes, we have a right to protect the rest of the public. We have a right to restrict their access and arrest them if they do not go. Shopping malls often do not allow people in because of gang colors or certain vulgarity on their t-shirts. That is all legal. It just has to be posted on the entrance doors that, we don't allow this. And once somebody enters, they can be asked to leave. And if they don't, they can be arrested. Simple as that. How do we really physically enforce trespassing? If we are private security and we're working at the mall, or we're working at a school, or whatever, what do? Well, first of all, we have to abide by the policy of the company. the policy of the client, the company orders, and the law. If the company, the client, and the law are in agreement, and they say we can enforce trespassing, if we tell someone to leave and they don't, we can either take them into custody or we can call law enforcement to take them into custody, then that's what we can do. But if the policy and the client do not want trespassers arrested, then all we can do is give these people verbal warnings, and if they disobey us, unfortunately, we have no authority. The authority, as we teach, we've always taught, comes from the company, our employer, the client, if we're working for a contract agency, and the law. If the law says you can't detain a misdemeanor offender in your state, which is the case in some areas, then you can't detain them. You can only detain somebody who's committed a felony. You have to abide by those three areas: the policy of your company, the client wishes, and the law. If they are all in agreement, then you are good to go. You can enforce trespassing simply by giving those verbal warnings, giving a written notice if you want to. If they don't leave and your property or client, boss, whoever allows you to detain, then you can detain them. You cannot, however, physically remove them from the property. We see this often. When you touch somebody, when you lay hands on somebody, it is an assault. And you have to remember that under the law, you are only justified in using physical force when you are in imminent danger to protect yourself or others, or if the law allows you to detain or make a private person's arrest, then you have the right to use minimal and reasonable force. But you cannot remove them physically, toss them out the door. You know, I give the example frequently. This is not the old days when the person was grabbed by the scruff of the neck and their seat of the pants and thrown out of the saloon. Those days are gone. When you touch somebody unlawfully, you're subject to arrest for assault. Various degrees. It could be a misdemeanor, it could be felony. You have to comply with the law. If you're going to be a law enforcer, which private security often are, then you cannot be a law breaker. Pretty simple. It's one or the other. You can't take the law in your own hands. You can't decide to make up the law. We can only enforce the laws that are on the books. Trespassing is a problem. And as a frontline officer, as a first responder, you are the person dealing with it more times than not. But I want you to always conduct yourself in a professional manner within the law. If you are within the law, then it's always going to be on your side. And that's going to conclude this edition of On the Legal Side. I'm your host, Rick McCann. Remember, be safe, be blessed, and we will see you back here this week on the radio.